It's the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime. Join physical therapist, author, and human performance expert John Zombro and inquisitive life-optimizing co-host PK the Incomparable as we explore the secrets of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness in the pursuit of ultimate wellness. In each and every show, you'll learn how to look, feel, and perform your best so that you can live your longest, healthiest, and happiest life. Hey, welcome listeners to episode 10 of the Lifetime Body Podcast. And today we're going to revisit the basic principles, this time part two. And just want to welcome you and thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. And just a quick kind of retouch on why we're here and what we're doing. It's to provide messages of ultimate wellness and to help you to solve problems in health, fitness, and performance. Oh, and by the way, I always forget, PK, good morning.
Good morning to you, John. You're just so excited.
Yeah, that's typical for me. And, you know, we're doing this a little earlier than usual. So it's possible that the levels of caffeine and cortisol aren't as good as they usually are for me. But hey, whatever. It's all good.
That's right. Moderate consistency.
Yeah. So what have you been up to?
You know, Monday, Labor Day, Montana. This is Montana summer. It is just the perfect time of year. I think it got up to maybe, you know, high 70s yesterday. So in the mountains, it's hot in the sun, a little cool in the shade. You know, just enjoying the last secret month of summer here in Montana.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, low humidity, clear, bright skies, cool nights, no bugs. Wow.
It's magical. Yeah. How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, you know, a little bit of this and that. I've been working on some kind of into summer maintenance projects around the house, and I've got a little woodworking project going on as well. But in the training realm, I'd probably say I'm not doing serious training, just exercise at this time, and trying to work towards all around fitness, which, you know, you never get the most of any one thing when you do that. But I'm trying to experiment with myself and find this point of training or a mix of exercise from which I can go in any direction and perform moderately well.
Yes. So you're really just laying the groundwork then in general.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, sort of having fun and being a little serendipitous with it all. But I've been doing a lot of, you know, kind of supportive things. So, you know, maybe not quite as serious with the air quotes training, but I'm messing around a lot with my cold tank. And I'm finding that to be very beneficial.
Yes. How so?
Well, I've got I'd call it a cold therapy center in the backyard. And it's kind of like a miniature log cabin with an open roof. And in there is a tank and a little outdoor shower that I have. And so I hit that, you know, over the summer, you know, almost once or twice a day when I'm home. And it is just it's refreshing, first of all, but it's a wonderful thing to kind of upregulate the metabolism, and it can help with recovery. There's some, you know, certainly some controversy about, you know, when you might use that in response to exercise and all that. But I've just been having a lot of fun getting in the cold water. And of course, you know, now that we're in this weather phase, I can fill it up out of my garden hose. It's 52 degrees. My well's 300 feet deep, but overnight, you know, the temperature usually that's been going down to, you know, upper 30s, low 40s. So that water is very appropriate.
Yes. I love it. You know, the listeners may not that I'm also a big fan of the cryotherapy, the hormesis. So I love what you're doing there with the cold tank. I've been doing a little bit of that. I went on a bike ride yesterday, and it was you know, pretty in the afternoon, kind of a longer ride with some buddies, and then after hopped in this reservoir and did a little mountain cryo. And I tell you, it's just a wonderful way to sort of, just like you said, get refreshed, but also I could not be a bigger believer in just the overall value of that.
Yeah, I love that. And you and I even did one last week where we did a short hike, which was kind of a brainstorming session, getting that oxygen in. It was wonderful. And then we took an icy stream plunge. And I tell you what, the exhilaration and invigoration was amazing.
Now that was ice. That was icier than the reservoir. That was amazingly refreshing. That was cold.
Yeah. I don't know that everyone wants to do that in the middle of the winter here because, you know, a lot of times it's below zero, but it's wonderful right now.
Yeah. And I can't wait. We've got to do an episode on specifically, you know, cryo and then the just cold therapy and inflammation. We'll get that on the docket shortly. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important to explain what are these hormetic responses and, you know, what that's all about and how valuable it can be. And maybe we'll separate out, you know, cold from heat. And
yeah,
great agenda for us. I mean, I'll add that to the list of over 100 topics that we have. So, hopefully the listeners can stay with us because we are on a roll.
On a roll, indeed.
Yeah, so we're back. We're back at these basic principles. And you know, I hope everyone finds this so valuable because they really do form the basis upon which you know, we use those five components and also how all the training applications can be 10x'd. We've got 8 more points to touch on today. Make it kind of brief. And just getting a few of these working can really change health, fitness, and absorption of all these wonderful lifestyle practices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So number one, or, you know, today's number one is that anytime you're doing an approach to wellness, you know, whatever you want to call it, self-improvement, health, diet, training program, it needs to be a flexible system.
John, I think this is, it almost makes too much common sense. It's almost too basic to consider a basic principle even, but it's so fundamental. You know, why did you put this in the 16?
Oh yeah. And I agree with you. It seems Captain Obvious, but ironically, I have seen folks struggle with this immensely. And the idea is that, you know, you can get so motivated and you get a nice program. It's a schedule, it's a routine, it's a system. And then the mind just says, I want to do it. I want to check it off. I want to knock it out, whatever's on there. Mm-hmm. And we lose, you know, we are capable of doing this. We lose sight of, you know, what's the body saying? What's the feedback? You know, how much of that did I absorb? Should I change it up a little bit to get either, you know, not a negative response or more of a positive response? And I kind of say that's, we're just really respecting the patterns of nature and adapting accordingly.
You know, I have a quick story here. I've been working out with my folks and we've been pumping iron. We've been doing the month one Jack program and it's been going great, probably about 2 weeks into it. So we're just free weights in there, you know, in their garage. And while we were lifting yesterday, the three of us, my mom, my dad and I were talking about how the lifting program is feeling good. And specifically my mom, she said, well, you know, I have never really liked to lift weights before, but since we've been able to modify this to a level that is appropriate to where my strength's at, it feels good, in contrast to trainers that she's had in the past that just keep packing on the weight and kind of pushing the limits. And so I think that, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting moment in time there where just being flexible and, you know, modifying the exercises and to fit her specifically where she's at with her strength, made all the difference.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And that's wonderful on a lot of accounts that, you know, you're training with your folks, first of all, and all that, but it really, that gets down to, you know, this whole idea, make your fitness program fit you. And so that's, you know, that's how being flexible and having that flexible system, can be optimized. So, kudos.
Cheers.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, we should always practice moderate consistency in all of our endeavors. And so, you know, that this sort of, maybe it seems a little bit vague, you know, what is moderate consistency? Well, it's kind of like, you know, doing most of your stuff most of the time. And,
yes.
You know, it's like, well, okay, you know, what's that means? Well, it, you know, I can tell you the story, you know, I probably have thousands of people that I've looked at or worked with over multiple decades. And so, generally when you've got someone on a training program, a fitness program, a rehab intervention, you can divide it into three groups of people, you know. And so there'd be the first group of people that, you know, they come back in, or you check in with them, whatever. You know, these days that's primarily done online, but it used to be more brick and mortar. And they would come in and I'd say, well, how's it going? And they'd say, I've done nothing. And therefore, I have no results. And of course, we recognize nothing tends to beget nothing. And it's like, okay, that's a very small percentage of people that, you know, just hadn't found the momentum to get rolling, you know, get that, overcome that inertia with their program. Then I had a large majority, probably almost 80% of my clients, that they would come in and I would say, well, how's it going? And they'd say, well, you know, I've been doing, again, air quotes, most of my stuff, most of the time, you know, I fit it in when I can. I miss a little bit here and there, but for the most part, getting it done. And they said, well, how much is it? Well, it's about 80%. You know, I'll do about 80% of the stuff about 80% of the time. And then I would say, gosh, you know, looking at, you know, whatever tests and measures we're using, you're getting 99% of the potential results. Way to go. Awesome. And then there was that third group, you know, another small percentage. So just a few people would say, I'd say, how's it going? They said, man, it was perfect. I was hitting everything, you know, just checking it off, doing it all. And then something happened. It all fell apart. Now I'm doing nothing. It's worse than before. And I don't even know if I want to start again.
Right. John, it's that last group that I think is the most dangerous, because if you're shooting for perfect and then you get off track, then you just stop. I mean, that's something that, as opposed to that medium group where if you're doing most of your stuff most of the time, then it's just, you're having success all the time. So you don't feel like just one small hiccup has thrown you off, or that you've lost time or track, or that you're just not, you're not having success. That's huge.
Yeah, precisely. And so, you know, we have to be cautious in our pursuit of perfection. I'm not saying that that can't be an overriding goal, but we also have to accept that coming close is oftentimes not just good enough. It may even be better.
Yeah. And I think that just that sort of the numbers you kind of threw out there, if you're doing 80% of the program, you could be getting almost 99% of the benefit. So that's really something to sink your teeth into.
Yeah, a great reassurance. And next up, it kind of relates, you know, these things sort of do fold into one another. No self-loathing is allowed at the lifetime body.
No self-loathing.
Yeah. So, you know, don't beat yourself up. And again, whether you're, feeling like you're hitting all your workouts, for example, or dietary goals, whatever they may be. But, being self-defeating is just not necessary, and it's not valuable. I like to say that all the things we do, it's can-do country, and we employ as much positivity as possible.
So, John, this is interesting for me, because in the same, like last time, we talked about something as specific as control inflammation in the body, which is really a specific physiological point. And then, you know, this particular point, no self-loathing, really is more amorphous. It's an idea. It's a philosophy. How does like the more technical, and then an idea like this, which is really how to take care of yourself and maintain a positive attitude, you know, how does that all kind of work together?
Yeah, well, I think you set me up there, teed it up pretty nicely, because if you know, there are studies that will look at, negativity and, punitive self-treatment and all those sorts of things. They actually can alter hormonal profiles, you know, and get a person into a depressive state and increase inflammation. And so you're really, you know, by not beating up on yourself, you're not creating an obstacle to health.
Right. Right. Okay. And I like the idea. I love how they work together. And it is, you know, it's kind of a bold statement, say no self-loathing. And we're actually going to talk about a couple more that are in that same realm. But I do think it's vitally important. What would you recommend, just through your, you know, working with thousands of people over many years, any keys to avoid the self-loathing?
Well, you know, those words like quixotic or Pollyanna, you know, we're not saying that, you know, what we're saying is, you know, every time you approach a situation, whether it's you're going to do a lift or you're going to self-assess after you've done something, whatever you did, try to view it in the most positive light possible. So I've got I've had a number of clients that have worked with, and a few that I'm still working with that, you know, they struggle with this. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. There's a guy, he runs a race. He performs extremely well. He runs a 5-year PR. You know, so he ran faster than he has in the last 5 years. You know, just did a great job. And at the finish, I clapped him on the back, and he said, "Oh, you know, I should have did this or done this. Maybe I could have trained harder." And I said, no. Celebrate this right now. Don't beat yourself up. And I think we all need to be reminded of that. And so that hopefully that example serves a purpose for the listeners.
John, that's perfect. That's my pearl of wisdom. I already wrote that down in my book. Whatever you did, view it in the most positive light possible.
Wonderful. Yeah. You can't take it back, but you can certainly put it in a positive light. And, nice. And that, you know, moves us into the next thing. If we're saying on one side of that continuum, we're not self-loathing or beating ourselves up. On the other side, you know, you got to love yourself. And I'm not saying be narcissistic by any means, but what I'm saying is loving yourself really is just get right with that person in the mirror and accept him or her as an awesome work in progress.
So what made you throw this in to the 16 principles?
I found it, again, just working with folks. And, you know, outcomes can be important. You know, we have goals and achieving outcomes can be extremely meaningful. But really, it's all about the process. You know, we have to embrace process. And so, you know, I've had a lot of people say, I'll be happy and I'll like myself once I am this person, I can do this, I achieve that. Like, nah, you're awesome right now. How about just, you know, let's just take you towards that goal, but never forget, you know, how great you are. And also, you know, in the right way, tell yourself that.
Right. Well, those 2 points are very interesting. They're maybe 2 of the most difficult of the basic principles to put into action.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it always helps to have, you know, a good support network, you know, friends, family, a coach, you know, whatever, you know, how we communicate and make comments to each other and to ourselves, extremely powerful.
Yes. Where are we going from there?
Well, what we're going to do, and we've alluded to this one before, but I want to spell it out clearly. We're going to avoid 3D thinking.
Avoid 3D thinking. What does that mean?
Yeah. So in the physics sense, you're thinking 3-dimensional, but this is a little different. This is in, let's say, the verbal sense or the literary sense, 3D as in avoid the 3Ds of delusion, denial, and get ready for this, addiction.
Addiction. All right. I like it. so let me just recap. Delusion, denial, and addiction.
Yep.
Avoid that kind of thinking. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, first of all, I'll explain it and then I'll give an example. You know, delusion, you know, you can obviously look at the definition, but it's basically thinking or believing in an untruth. And then we move to denial, and that is refusing to accept information to the contrary. And then ultimately, addiction, which is an addiction to behaviors that propagate the denial and the delusion.
Interesting. So this has been an important, you know, I guess, philosophy that I've applied at some times in my life. And, you know, I think about it as taking the blinders off. And I think if you combine this with the 2 points that we just talked about most recently about no self-loathing and loving yourself, you can do this. You can avoid this kind of thinking with a really compassionate foundation as you're evaluating sort of wherever you're at. I think that there could be a tendency to be harsh if you're avoiding the 3D thinking, because you're really kind of, you're perhaps looking at things that are difficult to assess in your own life. Is that something you've seen?
Yeah, and a lot of this is driven by misinformation, dogma, doctrine, more D words that exist. And in the health world, you know, we can look at several examples. Say sugar is one. So, you know, we kind of know now that there was quite a bit of a conspiracy of sorts in the mid-20th century. You know, certainly saturated fat and cholesterol had become vilified, and there was a lot of funding by the sugar industry to, mm-hmm. you know, propel that thinking, but also to promote or present sugar as really it's just a benign calorie. It's a source of energy and, you know, a very safe and healthful, and you just can't consume too much. Of course, you know, you'd say, well, these days we know, okay, 2,000 calories of gummy bears is actually not the same as 2,000 calories of broccoli.
Right.
I actually wouldn't want to consume either of that amount.
Sure.
But moving along, so we had some, you know, again, dogma and doctrine, now it's 5D thinking, that led to this delusion. So most of us, probably you and I included, you know, we thought that. I was like, yeah, sugar, it's just fuel. You know, you just burn it, throw it in. So there's our delusion. Then there's that denial, like, oh, well, you know, sugar's not bad for me. And, you know, I don't have any problems. It doesn't cause me any health problems. And it's a, you know, it's a sports performance aid, you know, all that. And then finally you get to the addiction. Well, actually, sugar is powerfully addictive, proven to be 8 times more than that of cocaine.
Wow.
And so now, you know, we're hooked, and obviously that's, you know, binding to opiate receptors in our brains and, you know, messing with our blood glucose regulation and all sorts of physiologic things. Well, that addiction is so strong that it kind of drives, you know, the denial and so forth. So you can see that's a great example where we have to try to look at some of those other basic principles about avoiding bias and, you know, mm-hmm. being objective and trying to think, gosh, am I being a little bit delusional here? Yeah. And the same thing's true with exercise. You know, you can use me and laugh at me if you want, but, you know, I always thought, you know, more is better. And, you know, if you're not pushing it, you're weak, you know, you got to be tough. And, you know, obviously tried to apply that, trash talked about it a lot in the locker room. But ultimately, you know, I ended up a lot of times just breaking myself down. And I believed delusionally that that was going to be the way to, you know, better performance and even a better character. I denied that any other option was available, and I was addicted to it because, you know, exercise can be very addictive. You do it for lots of reasons. And, you know, use myself so people can maybe laugh with me a little bit, but you go ahead and laugh at. But I tell you, I have seen a lot of people doing the same thing.
Yes. I think that both those are great examples.
Okay. So now here's one for you. Don't take yourself too seriously.
John, this is a very interesting principle to include in the core principles of an overall health and wellness program. This is, I'm interested to see the backstory and the thinking on this one.
Yeah. So again, you know, there's, you know, my own journey, but also, you know, obviously things in the literature, experiences with other people. We need to keep things in perspective always, you know, try to laugh along the way. Don't be too rigid and really weigh, you know, what are the important things in life? What are the consequences of our actions? And so every once in a while, I'll meet a person that, you know, I'm respectful about this because they're strong personality drivers, but, you know, this is what I've got to do. This is, you know, my, you know, rigid program. Here's my very fixed view of myself. And I think sometimes if we can lighten up a little bit, we can relax our way into better performance, better health, and maybe even a little bit more enjoyment.
I love that. That's huge.
And I didn't plan it when I said this because, you know, we kind of banter with these things. It's not like we're reading a script, but the next one is enjoy life. And, you know, the duh is probably the word that you might respond with. I would welcome you to do that. But if we're not enjoying life, you know, the alternative is the dirt nap.
Yes. Okay. There may be other alternatives. You could be, you know, sleepwalking through your life miserable. And what would you say? Okay. Enjoy life. You know, what's a tip to do that. That might, someone out there might be like, hey man, sounds like you've got it pretty good. You know, you're out in Montana, you're enjoying your weather and your exercise. I've got a different situation going on. What's maybe, you know, a way that you've seen over the course of your sort of coaching career to sort of get that enjoyment meter pegged a little higher?
Yeah, it's one of those challenges for every one of us where we've just got to choose to find and celebrate the silver linings, or, you know, use more cliches, making lemonade. You know, I mean, we all have lemons, and sometimes you have a lot of them, and, you know, I'm very respectful of that. But you know, every day probably has something that can be viewed as a bright spot, and we can turn that into a propulsion for more. And that includes, you know, surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people, positive people, and practicing gratitude. All those things are in there.
Got it. Well, let's take it home. What is the 16th principle?
Ah, yes. So this is one that really became important to me in my clinical work. And it's that we don't participate in doc bashing. And so what I mean by that is, you know, bashing or defaming our physicians and healthcare providers. And I came up with this because this is what I was confronted with often. People would come in and, you know, to the clinic, and they would say things like, well, my doctor doesn't know anything about this. And I would say, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't know any dumb doctors, actually. You know, the intellect that's required to get accepted into and get through and out of medical school, and who's going to argue that it's high? And so, you know, it's not that at all. It's just that sometimes we need to put ourselves in another person's shoes or on the other side. And so if a person goes into you know, a medical appointment and doesn't have a ton of ownership and hasn't maximized their you know, things they can do for their own health, and expects, you know, the care provider to have all the answers and solve the problem and take the pain away, or, you know, do whatever, make them well again, I don't think that's a good collaborative relationship.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's very interesting. I think that, yeah, it is interesting because, you know, I think that we can have conversations with healthcare providers where we can feel small, maybe even intimidated, and maybe even not like listened to. So I do think some of the emotion that comes into that feeds that doc bashing, or that sort of, you know, that negative experience can actually have nothing to do with the service that you get, or the sort of the diagnosis, or any of the care specifically. So what sort of approach would you recommend then, as, you know, people are connecting with their healthcare providers to take ownership? What's the most, I guess, healthy relationship with the docs out there?
Yeah, well, you know, it goes back to using a lot of the resources that we've been talking about, so that each of us is doing the best we can do with our movement and our food and those other things, so that, you know, first of all, we probably need the healthcare system a little less, and of course, you know, we do have, you know, accidents and emergent issues, and we live in a country with the greatest acute care medical intervention system in the world. So, you know, we want them for that. And you better believe if, you know, one of my family members or myself, you know, winds up at the ER, you know, I want to be there, and I really respect those professionals' abilities. But it gets a little different when you start getting into lifestyle-related diseases and, you know, health management. Physicians aren't really trained to any great extent in, you know, exercise physiology and nutrition and a lot of the things that, you know, that we talk about on this show. I mean, this is well documented that there's very little, credit hours spent on that, because they have to deal with the sick people. So,
right.
The amount of knowledge that they have to be able to diagnose and treat disease is huge. And I've heard physicians call it, name it, blame it, tame it, you know, as a philosophy. Name it, they have to diagnose it, blame it, you know, otherwise correlate it to the symptoms or problems a person's having, and then tame it with procedures which are either, you know, with interventions which are either, say, a procedure or a medication. That's really what physicians are trained to do, and what they're really great at.
Right.
But you know, we've seen the shift where we've got all these lifestyle diseases where people aren't doing enough of what they can do. They go to the physician who has those tools to bring a person who's, let's say, on the brink of death back to baseline, but their tools aren't quite as good for bringing a person, you know, hovering around baseline up to great. And it's just one of those mismatches.
Yeah. And I personally, I think that as we've talked about this just, you know, over the last year or so, it seems to me that ownership, which is another core principle, is really the foundation for that solid relationship with the doctor. You're taking ownership of your own health, wellness, recovery, whatever it may be. And, you know, selecting people with insight, specific insight to put into your own program, as opposed to you're just 100% putting it in another person's hands to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah. And just, I think having a greater understanding of how, you know, yeah, the physicians are training, the medical system works. I mean, you look at this, you know, wellness, health, performance space, whatever. There are quite a few thought leaders who are physicians, but they're not new docs coming out of school by any means. They're, you know, people have had 20, 30 years practice experience, and they're at a point in their career where they can afford to do this. The new docs coming out, you know, they're coming out with several hundred thousand dollars of debt, and they have to work in these, you know, high volume practices or hospital organizations where, you know, like it or not, they have to service their debt. And so how would you like it? I don't say this to you, but, you know, just rhetorically, how would you like it if you had 10 minutes, and that's well documented, to meet a person, get to know them, figure out what you can do to help them, and get that triaged appropriately, and then walk back out to the waiting room where you've got 35 more people stacked up and waiting, and that's your day. That's a stressful day. And so, you know, I think as patients, you know, we could do a lot to reduce that number, you know, by more than half by getting healthier and getting rid of all these lifestyle diseases like, you know, diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, even, you know, forms of dementia and cancer. We could clear out the waiting rooms just by doing the things you and I are talking about. And then suddenly we free up the physicians to really do more of what they want to do to help, you know, help society and mankind.
Fantastic. Fantastic, John. Well, that's number 16, the 16th on the list. Should we recap them?
Yeah, I think that's fair to the listeners because, you know, there's enough items that a quick review would be valuable. So we look at what we're doing with the Lifetime Body, and it's a distillation of the big five components, and that's the foundation upon which all of our services and products are based. And I'll trade you on these so that I don't drone. The big five are food,
movement,
sleep,
ergonomics,
and awareness.
Now, to be fair, we did plan that out just for 5 seconds in advance.
Yeah. And, you know, these are the things that we're always hitting on and bouncing around. So just so everyone recognizes, you know, this is the cornerstone of our content. And and then we have this list in front of us for the basic principles. And so those basic principles, which we use to leverage those five components, are that quality matters.
To control inflammation.
Achieve harmonic balance.
Avoid bias.
Maintain respect.
Take ownership.
Develop your instinctive wisdom.
Employ hormonal optimization.
Make your interventions flexible systems.
Yes. Practice moderate consistency.
No self-loathing.
Love yourself.
Avoid 3D thinking.
I'm glad I got this one. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Enjoy life.
And finally, number 16 of the 16, don't doc bash.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for bouncing with me and a great review. And finally, you know, I'd like to invite listeners to use the Lifetime Body to help, you know, help them achieve ultimate wellness and make your body last a lifetime. That's what it's all about. And so there's, you know, obviously this podcast and the YouTube channel and things on the website, there's a lot of free resources that we offer and will continue to do so. But we also have some really powerful change maker services. So, you know, one of those would be if you need a consult or some coaching. Want to have some wellness education at your business. You know, those are the things that I do. And, you know, please take advantage of it. Products. There are a number of books that I've written. The project series is out there. It's available through the website and on Amazon. And all these things that we're always talking about are richly embedded in there. You've got deals on wellness and related products on the shop page of the website. And coming soon, this is really exciting, this fall, PK and I are producing a series of training and health enhancement guides programs that they'll be available in a couple of different ways. And they're really going to make a difference for you. Last but not least, don't forget to sign up for the weekly wellness update through the website. And that gets you access to all the latest things that we're doing and information. And also, if you can subscribe to the YouTube channel to get more of these great free health and fitness tips, that helps us as well. So much appreciated.
Absolutely. I can tell you that I am, as I mentioned earlier, in the middle of month one of Project Jacked, a little program that I'm doing with my folks, and that's based off of the Project Jacked book. And a lot of great, just even 2 weeks in, just feeling awesome. So it's all available for you listeners out there. Just go to the website and check stuff out.
Yeah, thanks, PK. And I had an opportunity to bump into your dad the other day, and that's really what he said. He said, "Man, I'm feeling better than I have in a long time." And he came into this fairly fit, but he says, "Gosh, I feel like I've dropped a little bit of weight, and I've decreased my inflammation, and my strength is better." And I was like, "Oh, just wait, it's going to get better than that."
Stay tuned.
Yeah. And so finishing up last week, I said, well, there's a surprise coming, and it's an award. And so the winner of the surprise gift of the week, which we're going to be doing on a regular basis, for giving us a great review on iTunes, goes to FletchMT406. And what FletchMT406 is receiving is a free, a complimentary health and performance consult. And what we're going to do is, whatever he decides, I believe he's a he, and we might be looking at his training patterns or talking about his nutrition or, something. He's going to tell me what his goal is. It could be he's got a nagging issue. We're going to try to solve that. And maybe even, I'll have him do a little email support and shoot me a quick video clip of him running to analyze his gait, whatever it's going to be. That's what we do in these things. And those are face-to-face problem-solving sessions. We do them over Zoom. It's easy. It's efficient. It uses technology to the best ability that we have these days. And so Fletch gave us a 5-star rating and had this to say about the show. Jay-Z and PK's Lifetime Body Podcast is the best podcast I've found on how to live a healthy life. Jay-Z provides a unique balance of science and common sense. PK provides the valuable point of view of the everyday guy trying to make sense of all the health noise coming at us. This is on my weekly rotation and is helping guide my nutrition and exercise decisions.
That's a great review. It's flattering. I should say that, I'm blushing.
Wow. And thanks. Thanks, Fletch. And I look forward to engaging with you on another level. And folks, if you also are digging the content, please head on over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a review. And there might be a surprise in it for you as well.
Well, there may be, but there will be a surprise for one listener every week, right, John?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
So that wraps up today with the basic principles. And again, so much do we appreciate your joining us on this journey. And look forward to seeing you next time. PK, thanks again for your insights and wisdom, as always. And I'll see you soon as well.
Thank you, John. See ya.
Peace out.